is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous little elf, Jill Serkin.
Well, with the broken reindeer.
You got broken reindeer dealy boppers.
Do you realise, Paul Andrews, how many years I've been dragging these in from Whitstable to Romney Marsh and to...
Well, they look like original pagan dealy boppers.
Yeah. Ye old original reindeer. Are they reindeer ears? I've forgotten what I'm wearing even.
Yeah, they're reindeers.
Yeah. And of course, that fluffy hat you've been wearing, I've been dragging that in for you for years, but that's fared better.
I hope you disinfected it before you gave
given
it to
me. I've given it a little wash.
Have you?
A little wash and a shake in the air and everything. I'd like to say a hello. We've got a new listener, Paul Andrews.
Have we?
From Borney, Scotland.
Oh, blimey.
And he's saying, oh, blimey, because of my accent, not because of Scottish. Because
we welcome Scottish guests. It's just, please don't mention being Scottish or Yorkshire or South African. Because
she
rolls them all into her little one-size-fits-all accent.
Yeah. Well, we have on the Twitter, we have V, you can follow her on V65IFY. Doesn't mean she's iffy. V65IFI. She's an amazing chef. I've been looking at her recipes up in Scotland. She supplies restaurants and, you know, top chef and very, very beautiful stuff. So she's done things like tortellini with lobster. And she's simmered it up with a little bit of cream and butter. So there's no problem with calories. And then she's also done, in the same day practically, she's done a walnut and ginger cake, which I would love. And then she lets them cool and then she tops them with marzipan buttercream.
You're doing this deliberately,
it's
aren't you?
Absolutely delicious.
She's doing this deliberately.
Yeah.
What was her name? Vary?
Vary,
she's doing this deliberately to me because I'm on a diet. I haven't eaten anything for about 3 years. And so she comes in every week and reads out these lists of absolutely gorgeous ingredients. Anyway, welcome to the show, Vary. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you listening in.
And I think they've got a little boat, but she didn't call it a boat because she called it a Scottish name. I can't remember.
Some kind of ocean-going liner.
So some little fishing...
smack.
What are they? Yeah, but it wasn't a smack. It wasn't a snifter. It wasn't a. I don't know. It was a
catch.
Little. It had a special name.
A catch.
No.
A trawler.
No. It had a special tanker. Name. I'd have to trawl. Oh, the other thing she's made. You like this? She's made a smoked haddock mac and cheese with local fish and a strong Scottish cheddar.
Oh, do you know I love an Arbroath smoky?
Oh, I do.
Love an Arbroath smoky.
And I do really love a fish pie. Well, I suppose a mac and cheese isn't really a fish pie, but that sort of thing, isn't it? It's comfort food, isn't it?
Anyway, have you quite finished taunting me with food?
Well, not really, because she's also doing an organic pork with chestnut mushrooms, green peppers and a hefty nip of English mustard. So she doesn't use Scottish mustard. It's interesting, isn't it?
Well, nobody uses it. Scottish mustard is even worse than German mustard or French mustard.
Is it?
Yeah, Dijon stuff. That's rubbish, isn't it?
She's told me it's a creel boat.
A what?
A creel.
Oh, creel.
So you could do your reel and catch your eel.
Now, in creel, what whales eat?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. It's that sort of white crustacean, isn't it? Mm. She's going to tell us, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you could... I was being... You know, Scottish, you could do a creel while doing a Scottish reel.
Yeah, no, I got the joke. I got the joke. I was just, it was so bad. I was trying to ignore it. Sorry. Anyway, listen, look.
Who might our sponsor be?
Once again, we're pleased to be sponsored on the Business Bunker Show. By the Tenterson Chamber of Commerce and the lovely folks at the Tenterson Chamber are supporting local business. They also have the Tenterson Card, which is an initiative set up to help the high street and all other local businesses by encouraging local shopping. You can find out more by going to their website, which is tentersonchamber.co.uk. Do check it out. Thank you to them for sponsoring the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to partner with you for the whole of December, and we wish you continued success in promoting local shopping and shop local.
Shop local, especially, yeah, because we've had a little blow, haven't we, this week. Everybody was, Paul Andrews, what will I be doing tomorrow? Apart from making my Christmas gravy, I've done the old 24-hour bone broth. I will be making my Christmas gravy, but because I had everything booked in, being a lady, I had my nails booked in, my toenails booked in.
Yeah, me too.
My roots booked in. Of course, that's all gone. So tomorrow I'll be making gravy, doing my roots, doing my nails, doing my toenails.
What, why are you making gravy?
And at my
in
age,
the kitchen?
At my age, getting down and getting your toenails, that's quite, you know, it's quite tough, isn't it? I have to put my leg up on the bath. Do you have to, how do you clip your toenails?
Is that for the gravy, the bath, or a...
gravy bath. Now, we use a boat for our gravy.
It's funny you should say that. My toenails do need cutting. You didn't
but can
need
you
to know
still
that.
Get down there?
Well, at the moment, I've got two broken toes, if you remember, from last week.
Yeah, what did you do? You walked into a door?
Walked into the door while I was looking for a plaster. I cut the top of my finger off with a ceramic carving knife.
A disaster.
And while I was looking for a plaster, I walked into the door
it's
and broke
like
two toes.
It's like Mr. Bean, isn't
it? Yeah,
really?
It is exactly like
and
that.
And I must tell you, listener, that he is teetotal. So there's, you know, it's not like me when I'm putting up my Christmas tree and have another little sherry and another one and a nip. So you broke your toe, cut your fingers off.
Yeah, yeah. So at the moment, I'm not able to cut my toenails because it would hurt, But literally arriving by delivery this morning...
Is a new toe?
It's my new toenail cutters.
Oh, yeah, I got some in the last lockdown. What are they like? Yeah. Are they good?
I haven't used them yet,
proper
obviously.
Ones with, like, you know, where they... Yeah, it makes a huge... Well, I had to in the last lockdown.
And it's a massive warning label on there. It says, be really careful with these. They're incredibly sharp.
Yeah.
So you know I'm going to cut my toe off. That's the first thing I'm going to do.
It is hard because my new husband was starting to complain that my toenails were sharp. You know when you go to sleep and you spoon, don't you, like that? And he says, your toenails are getting really sharp, so I had to. I also invested.
I'll tell you what, listener, there's some class stuff on this show, isn't there? Isn't there some class stuff on this show? There really is.
And for those that might be enjoying my gravy at Christmas, no, I don't cut my toenails whilst making the gravy.
Well, that's good to hear.
No, I don't.
Hey, listen, anyway, look, we've got a guest on the show today that we're going to introduce you to later, Simon Thomas from Contactor Systems. They're Paddockwood-based manufacturer of intercom systems, celebrating their 50th year in business this year. What a year to celebrate 50 years.
Yeah.
But for them, it's actually been a very good year business-wise because they've reinvented some of their products for use in care homes to make them safe so that the residents of care homes can actually talk to family and friends.
Really? Really, that's great because it's been, you've seen all the stories in the papers and the press. It's just been heartbreaking to see people separated, and often the elderly don't really understand if they've got a little bit of dementia or something. They don't really understand.
Why?
I remember when my dear dad was taken into a nursing home, and then they had the novavirus, and we weren't allowed to visit. So very similar, we were banned over Christmas, and I had to drop mince pies off for him and things, and he would phone me up crying, said, "Why aren't you coming in? Why aren't you visiting me?" And very vague. I don't think he ever even got the mince pies. I think the nurses ate them. Sad.
I was saying to my mum the other day in our regular phone calls how pleased I am that Dad isn't with us anymore to go through this.
Yeah.
Because my dad, bless him, do you remember bird flu?
Yeah, I do. Avian flu, bird flu.
Yeah, yeah. The minute they announced that, my dad never, ever ate turkey or chicken again, ever.
No.
He went, "Nah, it's all got bird flu, mate. You can't eat that. It's riddled with bird flu."
But I don't really understand that because they've just had another outbreak, haven't they? I mean, Vary's listening. She might know because she's a chef. But there was one, I think it was up in Birmingham, a big avian whatever you call it, wherever they bring up turkeys. And they were going to cull them all. But surely if you're roasting something at 200 whatever, it's going to kill anything.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to scare you, but
I've got turkey on Friday.
I don't want to scare you, but there's been an outbreak in Vietnam of bubonic plague.
Really?
9 people.
Rats?
Probably.
Gosh.
No, I think the people have got it rather than the rats. Yeah.
Well, have you got any pangolin for Sunday lunch? That's the main
thing. Don't go there. Just don't
That's all
start
I'm saying.
That. Just don't go there.
The roast pangolin?
Don't go there.
They're quite sweet creatures. Really.
Anyway, listen, we want to hear from you. We don't want to hear any of this nonsense. We don't want any of her ranting, and we don't want to hear about any of her bodily functions or anything else. We'd like to hear from you, all the listeners out there, so do send us your tweet. We have had quite a few tweets already, and we are going to start reading some of them in a minute. And I've got some emails and some news to impart to you. I want to say a huge thank you to ongoing show sponsors, annual show sponsors, and we're pleased on the Business Bunker Show to partner with leading employment law firm Lock Associates. They'll be bringing you regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. If you want to find out more about them, you can go to their website, which is lockassociates.co.uk. That's the Lock Associates Group. Lock is spelled L-O-C-H in the Scottish Lake way.
Yeah, Barry would say it much better. Barry Murray, of course.
Yeah. Lockassociates.co.uk. Do check them out, and thank you so much for supporting us. Without our supporters, we would be nothing. And I think at this time of year, it's probably appropriate to say a huge thank you to everyone that supported us and sponsored us during 2020. So a huge thank you to the lovely folks at the Business Diaries, KO Digital, Tenterton Chamber of Commerce, Lock Associates, the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway, Best Business Events, Spinnerjet. I'm trying to remember them all. Spinnerjet. There's been loads of you that have supported us and sponsored us. ZC Social Media, Women in Business. So thank you all for your support and your kindness and your generosity, because without you, we couldn't do this show.
I'm sure there's a lot more, but I wasn't listening because my Twitter's gone bananas.
Right.
So I was looking at that. It's very hard to do two things at once, even as a woman.
Your Twitter's gone bananas. I thought lettuce and bananas were stuck at Calais or something.
And your Moroccan strawberries. I mean, you know, there's going to be... No, I've as you know, this morning I
saw your video.
Yeah, well...
Your video's gone viral, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, even the Japanese want your video.
I've got the Japanese news agency. I've now had one from Luxembourg with a company called NX, and a few have asked if they can use it. And Thanet Times, because, you know, the days when I used to work with journalists on the local papers and the Daily Mail and stuff, they'd have their own photographers.
Yeah.
But now we do it for them.
Yeah.
You know, so I saw that and I just thought it was interesting.
Citizen journalism.
Yeah.
Do you know, 15 years ago, I backed a company that had recognised that this would be a thing, citizen journalism.
Mm.
Now, bearing in mind, 15 years ago was before social media.
Yeah.
But the internet was the thing. And the lovely Lizzie Hodgson, for it was her,
yeah,
came up with this idea. It was a platform called Civic Boom. And it was exactly...
I remember that.
Do you remember? It was exactly that. It was about citizen journalism,
yeah,
where you could post news stories and videos up on this, and it was available for people to use. Do you think the newspapers were interested? They were not.
Really?
We went to every national newspaper and every local newspaper and said, look, you can pick up stories from here.
I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. And they went, no, we won't want to do that. Well, of course, that's exactly what they do now.
Yeah. So what happened to Civic Boom?
Well, because no one would buy into it, we kind of closed it down. First of all, we changed it into a few things, and they weren't interested. And the market was news media.
Yeah.
And the news media just didn't want to know. And of course, now they kill for it, but you know,
well,
they were just so unimaginative.
But it's like that, isn't it? They should have grabbed it, and now I think I've had so much reaction over this, as I get from quite a few of my videos when I take them, because it's they're people stories often. But I'm thinking I should go back to Manson and do a proper one with my professional camera, you know, because I was whizzing along in the car, so I wasn't driving.
But you know, I think a lot of it is the amateurness of it.
Okay.
You know, it's a bit like, you know...
You're calling me an amateur. Thank you.
No, but it's like, it's what I call...
It's real.
It's what I call the war zone reporting.
Yeah.
Yeah. When, you know, Sky reporters and people like that are reporting from a war zone, there's like no more than two of them.
Yeah.
They are the reporter, the cameraman, the producer, the sound engineer themselves. And while they're reporting, they're ducking because the whiz-bangs are going off.
Mm. It's a bit like us in here, really.
Well, exactly. And it's that element of reality which makes it so viable.
Yeah.
If you've got a professionally produced and choreographed...
It's too glossy.
It's too glossy and people go, oh, I'm not looking at that. Mm. If it's bang, woo, duck, you know, whoops, sorry, drop the camera type of stuff, that's what people relate to now because it's clearly real and it's clearly happening around you.
I would like to say a big hello to any truckers that are listening, lorry drivers, because... to be spending 48 hours at least at the moment in a cab on your own. A lot of them are on their own. They've got long journeys ahead. Some of them are going back to, you know, Romania, Czech Republic it is now.
Yeah.
How old am I? Where else are they going to? Italy, Spain.
Romania.
Really tough for them. And, you know, how do they wash? They can't. Is there a loo in the cab? There's not, is there?
Do you know what? I just, this whole thing, it drives me nuts. You've got so many people trying to make political capital out of stories they don't understand. You know, 3 weeks ago, you got a bunch of complete idiots all over Twitter going, when the government announced they were building toilets and lorry parks, they were going, see, Brexit, they made Kent the toilet again. For 25 years, we've had this problem with Operation Stack. In 2015, the year before the Brexit referendum, the year before, we had the worst one ever when the Channel Tunnel was closed for 3 months. And everybody moaned that there was no toilet facilities, there was nowhere for lorries to park, and yada yada yada. The government, from between then and now, finally took the bait and said, we'll do something about this. It had nothing to do with Brexit because we hadn't even had the referendum. They put in a new junction on the M20, junction 10A, which opened last year, and Waterbrook Park, which was the lorry park at Ashford, parks 600 lorries. They've now extended that. I can't remember. It's a few thousand now. And they built in the lorry park next door, and they're putting in washrooms and toilets and facilities.
That's good.
Which is what everybody wanted. But everybody on social media is going, see what Brexit has done. It has nothing whatsoever to do with Brexit.
I think what it is the COVID thing with this variant that we don't really know much about, except that the politicians are saying that it's more catchable, it's more easily passable to people. But coming in today, I came a new route. Thank you for that, Mr. Google Map. And I bypassed the motorway. But, of course, all the side roads had. I drove from Whitstable to here, doing about 20 miles an hour. And normally I'm doing 50, lots and lots of lorries on the roads. And it seems to be affecting little villages around as well.
Yeah, because they have to, they try and get off the motorway because they don't want to be stuck there, and they park up in lay-bys. This is my argument. We had all of this in 2015. I actually did a TV programme.
I remember.
Do you remember? I fronted a TV programme about it because it was so bad. And we went out and we said, look, this is going to happen more and more and more. For all kinds of reasons, you know, most of the time,
just the sheer weight of traffic.
Well, it's not only that; it's
customs.
Back then, in 2015, it was industrial action in France. But there was a point where the industrial action finished, but we still didn't open, because the day it finished and they were going to open, a load of people got into the tunnel. And we're trying to get into the country by coming in the tunnel.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, do you remember?
That.
So they had to shut it again. It gets shut down for bad weather in the channel when all the ferries stop running. If there's a problem with the trains, they stop, you know.
There was a fire once.
There's a fire that stopped it. For 25 years, we've had problems at the Channel Tunnel crossing that are caused because there's nowhere for lorries to park up while they're waiting to cross. That has been a problem to Kent for years and years, for 25 years at least.
Nothing to do with Brexit.
25 years ago was the first Operation Stack. That's why I'm using that 25-year thing. It happened before that, but then they invented Operation Stack, which is a way of trying to handle it. The problem's never going to go away. It's never going to go away because you have this bottleneck at Dover, down the two motorways, the M2 and the M20. But I feel sorry for all the lorry drivers passed up at the moment. And as your video quite clearly showed, there's an awful lot of them.
Well, that was at 8:30 this morning. So, you know, amazing. And I think on the news last night, they were saying that it wasn't starting much, you know. I think they actually quoted there were 175 lorries parked up on the motorway, which was just not true at all. And if anyone listening knows the haulier that was interviewed on BBC News last night, the 5 p.m. news or 6 p.m. news, he had an Italian name, was based in Kent, and he was great. It was really interesting. We'd like to talk to
him. Mind you, our fantastic media were there at Dover telling us a bunch of old nonsense again as well. The BBC, of all people, did a report from Dover telling us that the vaccines wouldn't be coming into the country because Dover was closed.
Utter rubbish.
Which is utter cobblers because vaccines aren't transported by road.
No.
They're transported by air cargo,
yeah.
As it says quite clearly on the Pfizer website.
Yeah,
So a little bit of journalism, please, BBC, wouldn't have gone amiss.
Yeah, it's a shame. And I think if they start testing lorry drivers, that's still going to take 48 hours to get a test back, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, a big shout out to all the lorry drivers, the European lorry drivers that are currently queuing, because it's mostly Europeans going home.
Yeah, trying to get back with empty lorries, said last night.
But of course, you've got to queue the other side of the channel in Calais of people with all the lettuce.
Well, this
that we need for Christmas, apparently.
Yeah. Actually, I have ordered a lettuce, an organic one, which is delivered today.
Because
I have it with my fish platter, a little bit of lettuce.
Do you?
Yeah, just with my because we always have a fish platter starter.
Lettuce at Christmas.
Yeah.
Really?
Let us pray. Have you never heard of it?
No.
But I don't eat bread much, do I? So I wrap a little bit of lettuce with some prawn. I got these king prawns, wraps. Paul Andrews, from Wheeler's. Now, Barry, if you're listening, Wheeler's, if you Google it, Wheeler's Oyster House, or whatever it's called, it's a little fishing parlour in Whitstable High Street, and I've got a little fish platter.
Talking about wrapping things in leaves.
Yeah.
One of the nicest things I've ever
eaten. Banana.
I was just going to say, one of the nicest things I've ever eaten in my life was at the restaurant Indochine on Boat Quay in Singapore, and they wrapped
pangolin.
They wrapped stuff in banana leaves, and it was absolutely gorgeous, and no, it wasn't anything weirdly exotic.
Did they cook the banana leaf? Was it soft and could you eat it, or was it just display?
No, it was soft. It was cooked. It was, you could eat it.
So like a sort of...
it was a sandwich. It's like a bread roll.
Sort of a more Caribbean vine leaf.
Yeah, kind of.
Stuffed vine leaf, but a stuffed banana. I've actually got a banana tree at home.
Have you?
If you'd like to try one.
Does it grow bananas?
Not yet, but it does grow leaves. So we could have a little stuffed banana party. Banana leaf party. Right. What was inside it? Meat.
It was a concoction of different chopped
things
that weren't meat. It was vegetables.
Well, what is the strangest thing you've ever eaten? I know that you had that African worm. What they
called? Palmy worms.
Yeah, I've had one of them. I got the certificate. Did you get a certificate for eating?
I think so.
Then we had those roasted cockroach things, didn't we?
We had scorpion. We had roasted scorpion.
Yeah, that was quite nice because of the seasoning that they put on it.
And crickets. We had crickets.
Crickets was nice.
Mm.
And then, of course, shark's fin soup. You probably had shark's fin soup.
I've never had that, no.
Monkey brain?
I was in a restaurant in South Africa where they said, I ordered a steak and they said, do you want monkey sauce and glands with that? And starches with that? No, do you want monkey glands and starches? What?
No.
But monkey gland was a type of sauce, apparently.
Where was this?
In South Africa, in Cape Town. Starches was just potatoes, and monkey gland was a kind of gravy. It had nothing to do with monkeys. It was just a brand name, but it scared me for a little while.
Well, because you know when I was in South Carolina and I went there, I actually went on a diet before I went because I knew what the food was like. The food is amazing. And I said to the concierge in the hotel, I said, I lost 6 pounds to come here. I said, and I've put on 6 pounds in 3 days, put it all back. And he said, 6 pounds? Honey, you're just getting started. You know, it's like the food is just...
Talking about just getting started,
yeah,
I think it's about that time we played a bit of Chrissy music.
Oh, what we got?
Well, you're going to hate this.
Am I? Oh, is it my Hawaiian one that I play?
No, it's not. No, it's not. No.
Cruel,
it's Noddy, isn't it?
Noddy? Oh, Noddy Holder.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, do you?
You look a bit like him today in that hat.
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You've been slayed.
I love that song. Do you know it's timeless, isn't it?
It is timeless.
Does
it's
it take
great.
You back to when you were a bit of a kid?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
We were happy, weren't we?
I was a bit of a Slade fan, to be honest.
Yeah, oh, I love. Because I Love You, fantastic. Yeah. And with the violin, Jimmy Lee, I had a bit of a crush on Jimmy Lee. I had his poster on my wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had, of course, the trousers to go with it, didn't we? We used to wear those Oxford bags, did you?
Yeah, absolutely. And the platform shoes.
Yeah. And I had blue and white check, huge check that were straight down Oxford bags with turn-ups.
I could never quite come to terms with Dave Hill's haircut with his fringe, though.
It was odd.
Well, yeah, it was
it's
weird,
like his mum
it?
Did it with a pudding bowl.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think we've all tried that as mums, saving a bit of money when the kids are young. And I remember sitting my oldest on a chair once, in fact, on the kitchen counter, and thinking, it's really easy to cut a fringe. And, of course, you make a mistake and you keep going higher and higher and higher. And I've got the pictures and, poor child had to go to school with it. Had a tweet from the Umbrella Cafe. They are in Whitstable, and they're a social enterprise cafe in Whitstable, and they're saving 2,000 kilograms of surplus food, and they're helping 170 in their community with food and social provision, helped by 10 volunteers and local organisations, while also running their own online Christmas shop. So you can follow them on the Umbrella Cafe, that's umbrella_cafe, and do get in touch with them. And look at, if you go on their bio on the Twitter, you'll see their website there, and you can perhaps help out as well. Well done.
Talking about that, our mate Harry Covert.
Yes.
Have you seen some of the stuff he's been knocking out for his local community?
I haven't. I know he's busy, though.
He's been posting it on Instagram. He's been making food for the local homeless and charities and people. He does a three-course lunch for them every day. And you know what a good cook Harry is. He's amazing. But he's pulled out all the stops, homemade bread, everything. Unbelievable stuff. Lovely. And there's lots of people, I have to say, who...
Lots of happy stories.
Yeah, and there's lots of people that have said, you know, look, they ordered in lots of food for Christmas because they thought they were going to have a big party, and now they're not. So they're giving the food to various charities and various homeless organisations, which is lovely. So if you can do that, please do that, because it's a nice thing to do.
It is. Well,
I had
done.
A tweet from the lovely Deborah Turner as well, who says, Happy Tuesday, Paul.
And Debbie Young has said, she's an assistant, teaching assistant in Kent, and she said, what next? This is about the truckers, my video. She said, let's use Heathrow and Gatwick airports. No flying much at the moment, and we could also use Southampton airport to, I mean, it doesn't help the truckers, but she means to get provisions in and out, I guess.
Oh, this whole thing is nonsense.
Yeah.
This whole thing about the just very quickly, because I don't want to keep on about this, and we got some positive stuff.
Yeah.
But people talk about Dover as if it's that important.
The only place.
But Dover is a Ro-Ro port, and do you know it's only the 10th busiest port in the UK?
Really? So what's the busiest? Do you know?
Yes.
Portsmouth?
No. My man's gone blank.
You'll think of it.
No, it begins with an F, up on the northeast coast.
Farnborough.
Farnborough.
I'm trying to think of the places.
She's trying to...
Whereabouts is it?
It's up on the northeast coast of England.
Okay. So, up near what big town?
Well, no. It's East
Grimsby.
Anglia. No, it's south of Grimsby and south of Hull.
Hull.
Yeah, no. It begins with F. For goodness sake.
You'll think of it when we...
I'll think about it when we've gone off air.
Perhaps a listener will tweet it.
Yeah, no.
So, is that the busiest?
That's the biggest, biggest and busiest.
So where does that go across to? Holland? Or?
Yeah, Holland.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we haven't heard much from the Dutch. Maybe they don't make as much fuss as a little French.
It nearly came then, and then you said something, and it went away again. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
This is the age that we are.
Yeah, I know.
Are you taking your fish oils?
No.
You should be.
Anyway,
Felixstowe,
that's him.
Well, that was the lovely Tracy Ferguson.
Done, Tracy. Thank you.
She's Googled it.
Felixstowe. Felixstowe is the biggest port. But do you know, I just want to tell you one other statistic about this. Only 6% of our exports come through Dover. 6%. That's it.
So a lot of our waffle, in a way, and these poor truckers are just sitting there. Can't they be diverted?
Yes, there are other ro-ro ports all around the UK.
What are you calling it? A ro-road?
Yeah, roll on, roll off.
Okay.
Yeah. Goods are transported in three ways, effectively. Four ways, actually. Yeah. And ro-ro is the least of them, which is lorries. Yeah. Air cargo.
Train.
Container ships. And train. Tankers.
Do we not do train?
Yeah, we do, but that's even not smaller much than ro-ro. Yeah, I'm talking about international exports. You can't, you know, there's not a lot of freight traffic through the tunnel.
Mm.
So basically, the biggest commodities are actually tankers. Yeah, so oil, gas, liquid, all those kind of things, and then container shipping. Yeah, and container shipping comes in on ships at ports, but it doesn't come through Dover because Dover isn't a container port. Yeah, and then you've got air cargo.
Well, I watched the Transport Secretary last night, and I wasn't very impressed at all, really.
So enough of that. You can do one more tweet, and then I think we need to hear from our guests. We need something positive. We need a good business story.
Okay. I was trying to tweet then. You've got me. So we've had quite a few tweets. Also, hello to Eastling Grump, who's listening in often.
Is that Mike?
That is Mike, Eastling Grump. And also Tracy Ferguson at Tasey64 said, ha ha, I actually didn't look it up. She knew. I bet she used to go there on holiday.
Of course you knew it. I should have known it as well. It just went completely out of my head. Tracy, thank you so much.
And
Felixstowe.
Keith Grimley, he also said Felixstowe, so he's listening in, and he's based in Maidstone.
Hello, cool. Thank you, folks. Thank you for. I'm getting old. My mind's going.
Fish oils. You need some of Vary Murray's off her schooner, whatever it's called.
A creel. She sent a picture of it. Have
it's
you seen
beautiful,
it?
Yeah.
Isn't that lovely? Did you retweet it?
I'd love a chug on that. Yeah, I have. I'd love a chug on that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Chips and Dinks have been on. Christmas is coming. It's Business Bunker Day with the amazing Vanilla Webb and Jules Sirkin. Will there be chocolate? Will there be mulled wine? A Christmas cracker, mince pies with the banter today. If I come to the studio, can I have some? I'm in tier four already and I can stay within 2 minutes.
Look what I brought in, Paul Andrews.
Do you know what? I'll tell you what we've got here, Bev. I'll tell you what we've got. We've got two. What are they?
Lint Door, darling. I mean,
Lint Door.
Catch one.
We got two Lint Door chocolates.
I only bought one for you because you're on one of your diets.
That's it. We've got two Lint Door chocolates.
Yeah.
I found a packet of zero sugar biscuits.
Oh.
Yeah, but there's none left.
Well, the mice have had them.
And that's it.
Well, I was going to bring in some mince pies, but we, because my new husband and I and our son, who's now working with us at home, ready for Christmas, so he's sort of holed up working upstairs, because we'd eaten all the Christmas chocolates and we'd eaten all the Christmas mince pies. So I said, right, this is getting ridiculous.
And drunk all the Christmas sherry.
It's just, the sherry. So we've frozen the mince pies. So I said to my new husband, shall I get them out of the freezer and take them for Paul Andrews and me to have? And then I was working it out. There's nowhere to heat them here and they would have been rock hard. So,
and I can't eat them anyway.
No, chip them away. Well, you're on a diet, aren't you?
I am. Right. Let's bring some decorum, professionalism and some happiness to this show. I caught up with Simon Thomas, who's the managing director of Contacta Systems, and they're a Paddock-based designer, manufacturer and seller of intercom systems. They are celebrating 50 years in business this year, and they've had an epiphany brought about by being able to develop their products to suit the situation that we're in at the moment. Let's hear from Simon.
Excellent.
Cool. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Simon Thomas of Contacta. Simon, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling the listeners a little bit about Contacta?
Sure. Good afternoon, Paul. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Okay, so Contacta, small family business based in Paddockwood in Kent. We were formed in 1970 by my father, Bert. Initially, we were involved in intercom systems, which we bought in from Sweden when things were much more primitive as far as communication was concerned. And since then, we've evolved to develop our own range of communication type products. Right. Gone far away from those early days into realms my father would never have imagined, I should think. So here we are, celebrating our 50th and still going strong.
Fantastic. I mean, 50 years, that's absolutely brilliant in business. Do you know what? Sadly, I remember the original Contacta boxes that you did, because I actually started work the year that you formed your company. So I do remember some of those old boxes where you press a button and scream down the microphone.
They're the ones.
Yeah. But as you say, Simon, technology has moved on enormously since then. And you as a business offer a range of products. I was saying to you off air that I'm involved with the deaf community. I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and hearing loops and things like that are something that we're very used to. And that's another product that Contacta do, isn't it, hearing loops?
Indeed it is. Yes, it's probably our major range, or certainly it has been up until this year. Very strange year. Lots of different things have happened, as we all know. But hearing loops is a product range very dear to our hearts. Right. It is of great benefit to the community who suffer from hearing loss, as you know, Paul. And we sell our hearing loop range all over the world.
Yep.
So, probably about 25% of our business is exported, which is fantastic. A lot to the States, but throughout. And as I say, hearing loss, big part of what we do. And we engage a lot with the local deaf and hearing loss community, both locally and nationally as well. So something very dear to our hearts.
Absolutely. So do you manufacture the equipment here in the UK?
Well, we design the product range, and it is manufactured in the UK, not all by ourselves.
Right.
We have a supply chain which is made up principally of British manufacturers, and very much local manufacturers as well. A lot of them based in Kent, I'm pleased to say.
Oh, fantastic. That's really good news. Okay, well, let's kind of talk about some of the things that have happened this year, because it's been a year. What can you say about it? 2020 has been like no other year I can remember. Now, for you guys, that's produced some opportunities, I guess, is the best way of saying it, in the care home market and other kind of places like that. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Sure thing. Well, a long-standing product in our range was a one-to-one intercom system, which traditionally is used in ticket offices or areas where there's secure glazing, basically. Yeah. It used to be found a lot in banks, as you'll probably recall.
Yeah.
Railway stations, post offices, anywhere where there's a bullet-resistant screen to protect the staff from physical harm.
Yep.
Now, obviously, what we've seen this year, as you quite rightly say, most peculiar time for all of us, is the need to protect each other from for hygiene purposes.
Sure.
So, in other words, so we don't get this horrible virus which is flying around. Mm. And we've seen a demand pick up from a lot of new areas for us, including schools, GP areas, but particularly from the care home sector. And this last quarter, I mean, we've struggled to keep up with demand, quite frankly,
really?
Because of where care homes have been going out of their way to encourage visitors to come back in, but in a secure environment.
Sure.
Often that's meant putting a floor-to-ceiling partition in, and then obviously they've got a problem in communicating through it. We did notice that a few of the care homes have been going onto Amazon and buying, a cheap and cheerful intercom from the Far East, probably, and it just didn't do the job. What we did was raised our profile, say, look, we do these type of products, and we've been doing them a long time, and they're excellent quality, and you know, it's just, I'm amazed how it's picked up. Right. It's been a godsend for us, quite frankly, this year.
Cool. Just being a bit geeky, because I'm a bit geeky like that. And how does your modern intercom actually work?
Okay, so it's a digital system, and basically you've got a couple of amplifiers in a small box,
right?
Which keep on either side of the partition, if you like. There's a microphone and a loudspeaker,
right?
And both are live simultaneously, so we can have a conversation like we're having now,
right?
Both talking at the same time without any what we call clipping of speech or having to press a button to talk and release it for the answer.
Okay.
So the clever part of it is making sure that the system doesn't go into feedback.
Yeah.
You may have come across that, particularly in your game, you know, broadcasting, where you get this acoustic howl round, where mics pick up the speaker and it just goes this horrible loop and a screech comes out of it.
Yeah.
So although it looks very simple, to get the right type of performance, it's actually quite a sophisticated job to get there.
And hence why it's so important to have a product like yours, which is high quality, you know, because anyone could put together a few bits of electronics with a speaker. But like you say, you know, its efficacy is, questionable.
I mean, particularly in the care home environment where you want nice, natural voice reproduction, particularly when you're talking to loved ones in a stressful situation, like really, really important.
Yeah, and us oldies are always a bit mutton as well. It's interesting because I remember, because I'm so old, I remember those old ones where you used to have to press the button and you could only talk one way at a time. So you press the button, you go, hello, hello, and then you couldn't hear them until you took your finger off the button and they could talk back.
So
it's come a long way since then. I have to say, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I have to say, when you were talking about how it was set up, what came into my mind is visiting prisoners in prison. Yeah, because you have a kind of similar system there, don't you?
Anywhere where there's a petition,
you
need these type of products, and it's amazing how many of them there are.
Yeah.
Incredible. We thought this type of thing would die away, you know, decades ago, but it's, you know, it's still there. Mm. It's a very niche product area, and thank God, you know, there's a demand for it, although it can be in challenging circumstances, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess, you know, apart from the fact that we're in this weird circumstance where we're trying to protect ourselves from an unseen virus, there are applications for what you do in all kinds of things. You know, our local post office has them. As you say, banks quite often have them. You know, anywhere where there's a physical protection and a piece of armoured plexiglass, you need to be able to talk through it. So, yeah, I get that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And I think going forwards, there's going to be a greater awareness generally, even when, the vaccine comes into play and dear, please God, you know, we're all safe again. There's sense, you know, that we'll be mindful of this need to protect ourselves.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you're 50 years old this year.
Not me personally.
Not you personally. Oh, you don't look it, Simon. You don't look it. But the company is 50 years old, and that is a massive achievement. You know, these days, more than ever, the longevity of companies is shortening because technology takes a lot of businesses out of established marketplaces.
It sure does.
You know, as we see in the high street, you know, everybody going, the high street's dying. Well, you know, technology took them out and, you know, there's no way back from that. You just got to adapt and carry on. And one of the things I love about what you guys have done is you've responded, you've adapted and you've responded to an opportunity that's arisen, which is fantastic. Why don't you just go over, Simon, the range of products that you do?
Sure. So we mentioned hearing loops, and for those people who haven't come across them in the past, you'll be amazed how widespread hearing loops are, particularly in the UK.
Yeah.
So the hearing loop is a product which allows people who have a hearing aid fitted with a telecoil, which the majority do have fitted, to hear far better the voice or the sound they want to hear. You can find them in homes through TV, by listening to your TV if you've got one fitted. Supermarket checkouts now, majority of have hearing loops fitted to them. If you go to theatres, there's probably a hearing loop system in there.
Yeah.
And for people with hearing loss, it's almost a revelatory experience when they hear the benefits of a loop for the first time. It's like little loudspeakers in their heads.
Yeah.
And you'll probably come across this, Paul, in your work with you know, the hard of hearing community.
Yeah.
So that's one area. Hearing loops may not always be the answers because of the need to have an installation which goes with them. So there's other assistive listening devices we produce based on either radio frequency, wireless technology, or infrared technology. So, you know, there's a whole range of similar assistive listening products we do like that. So basically our focus as a business is, or our niche, is to help people hear better in public places.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, I'm assuming that you have a fair amount of research and development, and you try to adopt new technology and things as it comes along. I mean, presumably you've experimented with things like Bluetooth and stuff like that.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because Bluetooth is the buzzword at the moment. Loop technology has been in circulation for, you know, many decades now, and there's, you know, for some time people have been saying, well, it's old technology, something that's going to replace it, but it hasn't happened yet, and it's still the most effective way of producing the type of performance we need to get. However, we're very mindful of the fact that Bluetooth, there are changes in the way Bluetooth is used, and you know, it's another technology we may well have to adapt to going forwards.
Sure.
So, you know, the point you made earlier about the need of businesses to adapt and be aware of what's going on around them is absolutely vital to us being where we are in having survived for 50 years, and hopefully going on for, you know, another
50 years. Well. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Whether I'm still there or not when that takes place is highly doubtful. But
you're not going to retire anytime soon, are you, Simon?
Well, you could have a word with my wife about that
one. Just talking about 50 years, the landmark year. What a year to be 50, 50 years.
We had big celebrations planned.
Yeah.
Involving the whole company and past employees, and it was going to be a hell of a celebration. But obviously, for obvious reasons, we've had to postpone that one. Hopefully next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Not quite as good as you, but my business is 21 years old this year, and we had lots of things planned as well, and that all went out of the window. So, are you gonna plan a big celebration next year instead?
Yeah, I think we've got something earmarked for the second half of next year. I suppose on the premise that everything's
everything by that time. Back. Yeah.
But
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
You know, we will do something at some stage. Yeah,
cool.
Definitely.
Simon, I'd just like to finish off talking because of where we are with other things, with Brexit and all that other nonsense going on. You mentioned that, was it 25% of your market is export market? I just want to kind of cover that. You mentioned the United States. What other kind of areas do you export to?
Well, the EU.
Yeah.
And it's just, I suppose... ironic that our at the time we're going through the whole Brexit scenario, our EU business has increased significantly.
Right.
If I go back 6 or 7 years ago, probably export for us represented 1 or 2% of our overall turnover. Very much primarily UK based.
Right.
So, you know, we wanted to drive our export business, and we've been successful doing it. So, you know, this is just another challenge we have to deal with, Paul, quite frankly.
Yeah. I mean, it's the nature of being in business, isn't it? You know, these things come at us. So, somebody was saying the other day, oh, you know, we're all going to die, you know, not with COVID, but with, you know, Brexit and all the rest of it, you know, businesses won't be able to cope. But quite frankly, being in business is always about coping with whatever the government or people throw at you. It's never one thing. There's always a whole heap of things that they throw at you every year. You know, we had GDPR last year and all that kind of stuff, VAT MOS, and now, you know, I'm sure you're aware of this, that as from January the 1st, you have to, in the EU, you have to charge VAT in the place that buys it, not the place that sells it, and all that kind of stuff. So as businesses, we're continually faced with regulation change, standard change, tariff changes, and all kinds of rules and regulations. So again, it's one of those things we have to adapt to. It's brilliant to hear that you've developed that export market. Do you have any plans to go further afield, to go deeper into the export market?
Indeed. I mean, we're talking to businesses in India, into the Far East, to Russia.
Right.
There are definite moves to expand further afield where we have the logistics in place and can do a good job, basically.
Okay. Do you operate an overseas office anywhere at the moment?
Yeah, we have our own business in the US,
right,
based in Michigan. Obviously, challenges there at the moment as far as the whole coronavirus situation is concerned.
Sure.
Otherwise, we use distributors who usually handle their own given territory, which is probably the country they're in.
Yeah, cool. Look, Simon, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Huge congratulations on 50 years in business. Keep on doing what you do. You're one of Kent's success stories over a long period of time, and we do celebrate that. And the products that you supply, I know from my own personal experiences, are incredibly useful products and continue to be sorely needed. So fantastic achievement for what you've done. If people want to find out about Contactor, can they check it all out on your website?
Absolutely. So website is www.contactor.co.uk. Lots of information on there, and would welcome anybody who wants to get in touch with us.
Fantastic. So, Simon, thank you so much for that. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Once again, congratulations. Wishing you, your family, and all your workforce a Merry Christmas, and hopefully we'll see you in the new year.
Well, indeed, and likewise to you, Paul, and your listeners. Very Merry Christmas to all of you. Thank you.
Fantastic.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
What a brilliant interview that was.
Wow, I love to hear of this, you know, just adapting and innovating. And you could see that he was already thinking ahead about Bluetooth and, you know, what might happen in exporting. And brilliant.
As I said, a paddock wood-based business, 50 years in business, without being funny, apart from their hearing loop technology, which is brilliant and state-of-the-art, a lot of their other products have come to the end of their natural life because of technology change.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just shows you, if you stay on the ball, if you look for opportunities, you can reinvent yourself in all kinds of ways. Mm. And all of a sudden, bash, you've got a big market there, which is serving a really good purpose and can't be satisfied with any other technology. It's brilliant. I just absolutely love what they've done, and I love what they're doing, and they will be in business for another 50 years at least, without any shadow of a doubt, because they're doing what you need to do, which is to adapt. You know, as I said in part of the interview, one of the things that really annoys me about social media and the political environment at the moment,
the doom.
It's all the people going, oh, you know, the government have done this, you know, it's going to kill businesses.
Yeah.
I've been in business over 30 years. There's never been a year when somebody didn't introduce some mad scheme that you have to adapt to.
Yeah.
You know, I could reel them off, all the things we've adapted to as businesses over the last 3 or 4 years, you know, workplace pensions, GDPR, you know, the cookie monster nonsense. And they're just regulation changes. Below that is how VAT is calculated.
I would say that for hospitality it's been terrible, and for the beauty industry, because they thought they were going to cram in this last week with covers and, you know, diners coming and getting their hair done, and
that's a different order of magnitude.
Yeah,
that's shutting down businesses.
Yeah,
and that is a problem. Yeah. I'm not
with no notice. That's the thing.
I'm not
think of a restaurant. That's
I'm not disputing any of that.
Venison and haunches.
And all the supply chains that go with it. No, that the pandemic is a different order of magnitude altogether. Mm. They've just closed. They've just ruined businesses.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Are things like Brexit and you know all the other
that we have to adapt to.
That we have to adapt to because it's just the changing nature of the political environment and the economic environment. Mm. But you have to do that anyway. The pandemic is a different order of magnitude altogether because very viable businesses have just ceased because the government ordered them to.
Yeah.
And that's a different thing. You can't adapt to that. And that's my point. You can't plan for that. You can't adapt for it. You can't do anything about it. No. You've just been told to shut. The businesses that tried to do something about it, you know, the hospitality and leisure businesses that put in place you know, all the things that the government said you need to do to make safe, wasted their money.
Exactly.
Because they finished doing it, and then the government said, well, you're shut anyway.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Anyway.
But it was a really, really good interview and a positive way to end this year's show. I know you're doing one on the 29th on your own.
Yeah, we've got another hour to go yet, though.
Oh, no. I just think it was really... Yeah, but I've got lots of things. I've got my lint door to gobble up.
All right. And you've got another one?
Well, no, I had one each. You've got one, I've got one. Have you
eaten
yours?
Mine.
Oh, no, I'm saving mine.
I ate it quickly before Amanda noticed.
I have to... Well, she's not watching, is she?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
she's got a spy camera in here. Yeah.
No, I have to wait because I took my natural desiccated thyroid tablet 1 p.m. which has to be on an empty stomach.
Desiccated thyroid.
Yeah, desiccated. Yeah, okay. So it's what Hillary Clinton takes, you know. So I have to have it on empty. So I watch the time. I've got 1 minute and then I can gobble this lint door.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you can do that while the news is on in a minute.
Exactly.
We've still got loads of tweets to read out and we've got loads of information to share with you. So we've got lots of things to talk about in the second half of the show. So don't go away. You can go and make a cup of tea in a minute, though, while the news is on. You don't want to listen to the news.
No.
It's all doom and gloom. I'll just a quick shout out from a tweet that I've got from the lovely Martin Reeves at Charity Buddy. Could I have a shout out, please? And have a great show. Yeah, thank you, Martin. Yes, of course you can have a shout out, my friend. Do give Martin a follow on the Twitter, charity_buddy. He's a fundraiser for all kinds of local charities, so do give him some support if you would, and follow him at least on the Twitter. And the lovely Serenity Becker says, wishing you all a very healthy, happy and safe Christmas.
Well, talking about those businesses, so they have to buy in all the beauty products that all have a shelf life. So, you know, your nail varnishes, they just go gloopy if you leave them.
My nail varnishes, all over the shop.
Do you know where I keep my nail varnish?
No, I hate the thing. In the fridge?
Yeah, that's where I keep it. So it doesn't... How did you know? Very clever.
It was a bit obvious, really, wasn't it? Yeah.
Not
anyway,
really.
I'll tell you what, should we go and join the Channel Radio newsroom?
See what's happening.
Let's do that.
Yeah, can't wait.
This is Channel 2.